Frederick Buechner, a well-known author and poet, tells the story of a Christmas nativity play a friend of his took part in as a rector of an Anglican church. Buechner writes, "The manger was down in front at the chancel steps where it always is. Mary was there in a blue cloak and Joseph in a cotton beard. The wise men were there with a handful of shepherds, and of course, in the middle of them all, the Christ child was lying there in the straw. The nativity story was read aloud by my friend, with carols sung at the appropriate places, and all went like clockwork, until it came for the arrival of the angels of the heavenly host, as represented by the children of the congregation, who were dressed in white and scattered throughout the pews with their parents. At the right moment, they were supposed to come forward and gather around the manger. And that is just what they did, except there were so many of them that there was a fair amount of crowding and jockeying for position, with the result that one particular angel, a little girl, who was smaller than most of them, ended up so far out on the fringe of things that not even by craning her neck or even by standing on tiptoe could she see what was going on. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill to all men." They all sang on cue. And then, in the momentary pause that followed, the small girl electrified the entire church by crying out in a voice shrill with irritation and frustration and enormous sadness at having her view blocked, "Let Jesus show!" There is so much for all of us that blocks our view of Jesus. See, here are three words we need to hear again and again this time of year. Let Jesus show. When the manger is barricaded behind a mountain of Christmas preparations, choosing the right tree, getting the right gifts, sorting the Christmas cooking, and all these things wagging their tongues at us that Christmas can't happen without them, get out of the way. Let Jesus show. Three words we need to hear when our busy London lives are circled tight to guarantee no time to stop and think or moments to reflect on the real meaning of Christmas. When getting that bonus is a celestial sign that God is with us. And the best part of Christmas is when the wine begins to flow. Get out of the way. Now, at least for a moment, let Jesus show. When around the manger there is all the routine of church, the busyness of carol services that can run the risk of just another service. And ministers like me, as lost in the thick of it as everybody else, get out of the way. Let Jesus show. Frederick Buechner continues, "It was the rarest of occasions, for everyone present was cut to the quick by that little girl's cry, as every person realized that Jesus didn't show for any of them. They'd watched the nativity play, they'd come to church, but missed the mystery and the miracle of Jesus, the extraordinary demonstration of God's love for his world, of God's promise to you and to me in the gift of baby Jesus. They'd missed that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall receive eternal life. Let Jesus show." Let that be our prayer this evening as we gather around the Lord's table. For these few minutes, let everything else get out of the way. As we prepare our hearts to take the Christ Mass, the Christ Communion, in remembrance, yes, of Jesus' birth, but also of his life and death, of Jesus, who took on human life, who was as real to his disciples as you are to me, as I am to you. Who sat there as an adult among his friends with wine on his breath and breadcrumbs in his beard and his heart in his mouth as he spoke about his death and our death in words that even a 9-year-old child could understand. Let not your hearts be troubled, he said in the middle of his own terrible troubles. Take heart, believe in God, believe also in me. You know, this is why the story of the Nativity is told year in, year out, that we might believe. It is to give us comfort, to reinforce our faith, to remind us of a Father's love, of a God who takes on flesh and becomes a man, who meets us personally in our needs, who offers us comfort in our pain. It is to let Jesus show. And I can only assume, as we're here this evening, that we are believers. Or at least would be believers, part-time believers, believers with our fingers crossed. And at Christmas time, we too want to see Jesus in our church, in our community, in our friends, in our own lives. Christ is born, joy to the world, the Lord is come, and we are grateful. And it's why we're here this evening counting down the minutes to Christmas Day. The Nativity story from Luke chapter 2 is so well known to us, we probably could recite it. But because of that, we may so easily gloss over the terror and amazement and the glorious joy in it. See, after all, you and I live in comfort and ease. But if we just, for a moment this evening, allow ourselves to enter the story of the shepherds on that night, we may experience something very different than the warm safety and rich beauty we experience here in this church and in our homes. Because at this time Jesus was born, shepherds were among the nobodies in society. I read an article just the other day that made me feel like a bit of a nobody. It showed how small our Earth is within our solar system, and then how our solar system is only a blip within the Milky Way galaxy. And then it showed that there are thousands and thousands of galaxies, each containing millions of stars, each with their own planets. The pictures were startling. In conclusion, this is what it said, that we are just like a tiny little ant in a football stadium. And that may actually exaggerate our importance when we remember that we are 1 in 7.5 billion ants crawling across this planet. Now, when you look at the size and the scale of the universe, it's not surprising if we feel like nobodies. And so we wonder, does my life matter? Does my work matter? Do I matter? Have you ever also wondered, why did God show first to the shepherds? Now, the life of a shepherd was not easy. They spent most of their time outside, no matter what the weather was, watching their herds. They worked in teams, keeping watches at night, taking turns. Sometimes they'd play a flute to dispel the boredom. It was lonely, raw. It was a hard life among the lowest levels of society. And shepherds were also despised. They were considered, you see, unclean because they couldn't observe all the meticulous hand washings, rules and regulations of the Jewish law. Quite honestly, their job was just too busy. So people looked down on shepherds as common folk who should be avoided. And they were the kind of people you and I could all too quickly dismiss. They were nobodies in this vast universe. Did their lives matter to God? And here is the answer. They are front and center in the Christmas story. God wants them to hear the good news. God wants to let Jesus show to them first. And as we read through this nativity story, we're not being invited to see ourselves in the light of anyone else other than the shepherds. We're invited here to see and understand ourselves as nobodies, to come to the manger in weakness smallness and humility, in fear and trembling with worship, in the hope that God will let Jesus show. In our story, it's a quiet night. The shepherds are watching their flocks, verse 8, making sure all are together and safe. Then boom, out of nowhere, an angel of the Lord stands before them. And when the shepherds see the bright glory of God that accompanies the angel, they experience a healthy, holy fear. They worship Almighty God. Certainly, they have never seen anything like this before. The angel tells them there, verse 10, "Do not be afraid. It's good news. It's great joy for all the people, including you shepherds. Today, a child is born who will be the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord." Now, these are just regular shepherds, ordinary people, really. They probably have no idea of the theological significance of all this, what these names mean. See, all they needed to know, and maybe all we need to know, is that God has done something glorious and amazing, and it's good news of great joy for all of us. Let Jesus show. Verse 13, "And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel praising God." I love that word, suddenly there. It's almost as if the praise of God could not be contained in heaven. It bursts out into the midst of these shepherds as the whole heavenly host sings, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth peace." And who knows how long this glorious heavenly anthem rings? I'm sure of one thing, though. It echoed in the hearts of the shepherds forever. Forever they were changed. And after the angels leave them, returning to heaven, the shepherds say to each other, verse 15, "Let's go see this thing." And off they go with haste to find Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. Let Jesus show. See, that's who we've come to see this evening as we've come into All Souls. You see, there is within each one of us a hunger so deep, so ravenous, that the very depths of our soul growl with anticipation of being fed. We yearn, you see, to be satisfied. We are born searching for the feast. Show us the table. Show us where once and for all we can find the food that satisfies, where we can find real meaning, real answers, and real purpose. Let me say this to you this evening. You won't find that on the shelf of moralisms and virtues. It won't be from the plate of our chosen politics, our social programs, our precious projects to make the world a better place. It won't be under the Christmas tree tomorrow morning when we open our gifts. You see, within each and every single one of us, we are hungry. For God, we are hungry, and Jesus alone can satisfy. So like that little girl, we're coming. Move aside and let us through to the manger. There in the feed trough, there he is, the bread of heaven, born in Bethlehem, the house of bread. Come so our bodies and souls can partake of the very life of God. It's why we come with hope to the communion table. Let Jesus show. With heartfelt desire that everything that has blocked our view of Jesus will be removed. Now, as we cup our hands in a moment and receive the bread and drink the wine, let Jesus show. See, God's good news is for all, for you and for me. It's believing in Jesus. It's a matter of giving our hearts to him the way a child believes in a mother or a father. It's accepting his invitation, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you peace. Oh, come, ye unfaithful, broken and weak. Oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the friend of sinners." This is an invitation held out to us this evening. The manger, let Jesus show. this communion table, let Jesus show. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but will receive eternal life. Let Jesus show. Amen.